and welcome to a new episode of Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network. I'm Sean.
And I'm Jen.
And the show, of course, is brought to you by Comics on Comics, where the greatest comic minds meet the greatest minds in comics. As always, we bring you the worst of our collection.
Yay!
And
awful.
Awful, terrible, not very good.
Nope, bad.
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 And this one, I think, this week actually, we kind of have a theme.
Yeah, and maybe a little.
It's an animal theme.
Yeah, I guess you could say it that way. I was going to say it was a kidnapping theme.
Ooh, that too.
Yeah. And it could also be an animal theme.
Yeah, I felt this was a very animalistic theme, and we'll start with the first of our selections today. It is The Angel and the Ape.
Yes, Vertigo comic.
Number one, our first Vertigo comic.
Oh, man.
We don't normally do... See, I feel weird doing Vertigo stuff because it's like...
It's technically DC.
No, it's technically DC. I don't feel weird doing it because it's not technically DC.
Mm-hmm.
But oh. I feel that it's... There's something...
Dirty?
Well, no, it's not dirty. It's just that it's... It's not, it's not, I feel like it's supposed to be more, you know, because you know, Vertigo books are suggested for adult readers.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like it's supposed to be more, like, respected.
Okay.
Not that to say that everything that Vertigo puts out is good.
Right.
Because I'm certain they have a lot of crap.
Well, I would say this is definitely an example.
And this is an example. So I guess we're making a statement here.
I think it's
here.
Just, it's for mature readers because there's butts and boobs in it. And this word fuck is used and not, like, with little ampersands and stuff.
Right.
So. And there's a lot of... we'll talk about it.
All right. Well, this is from Angel and Ape, of course, are from the 60s. Or late 60s, early 70s. And they were these two characters that showed up at one point.
They're Private Eyes!
Yeah, the Private Eyes. They basically were two characters that showed up in, like, a showcase book back in the day, and, you know, they went away for a while, and then back in 2001, we got a miniseries, so this is number one.
I do have to make a quick comment right up front, though.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised by the art on the inside of this book, because the cover...
Yes.
...is very... you know, realistic, very detailed, you know, very angry little ape's got a gun. There's this chick, and then you open it, and it's cartoony.
Yeah, it's very, like, Archie's.
It's not, weird. I mean, it was a surprise, because I didn't expect that based on the cover. Of course, I'd never seen this book before. Before I bought it out of the dollar bin, but...
I guess this is what you get.
Yeah, I guess so.
Kind of a bummer. I mean,
yeah,
Art
that's
Adams.
Actually a bummer.
Arthur Adams. I don't know if it's the Art Adams. I don't know if it's he did this. If he's the one that did this cover, but
no, it's a nice cover.
Yeah,
and the inside of it's just like what? It's a cartoon.
It's a cartoon written by Howard Chaykin, which supposedly this means it'll be really good. But
well, what month is this?
Oh, this is October 2001.
October 2001.
Right.
Yay.
So, first off, I have to say, we'll just get into it.
Yeah.
So basically, they're Private Eyes.
Yep, Private Dicks.
Private Dicks. Angel.
In New York.
Angel O'Day?
I guess that's her
and
name.
And Sam Simeon.
Who's an ape.
Who's an ape. Like,
and
honest
apparently,
to God, ape.
And he wears suits, and apparently he also draws comics, because that's what he's doing right here.
Yes.
In this page, while his friend April, or Angel, or whatever the fuck her name is standing there in her lingerie, asking him which dress is better.
Yeah. So she tries on a bunch of clothes. I don't know where she's going. I think she's going to some sort of...
I have like a wedding for a friend of hers, maybe?
Yeah. And Sam, the ape...
helping her.
Helps her.
And I don't know where she's getting all of these clothes, because this is also their office.
Well, they lived there. Well, actually, if you see here...
Is that what it is?
It's kind of... Well, no, I'm sorry. I disregard it. She's got a bunch of these outfits, but they're hung from, like...
A bunch of pipes. Like, a bunch of pipes.
A bunch of pipes, which for some reason... Okay, so they're on, like... It looks like they're on, like, a higher level than just the basement, but it looks like they live in the basement.
I was going to say, all those pipes, I mean, because it's not just like one pipe. This is like every pipe in the building.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand where they're supposed to be.
So anyway, so she comes in, or she's trying to get dressed for
something. She's like, oh my god, I'm so sexy, oh my god. And she's very, very sexy. Everything is very tight and short, and her boobs are very big. And she's got eyes, you know, those very sexy eyes, very sexy lips. She's just very sexy. And obviously, you can tell that the ape wants to have sex with her. But he is an ape.
And he doesn't talk.
And he doesn't talk, which is weird. I thought he talked.
That's the thing. I was surprised, because this is another surprise that I don't really familiar with his characters, but I just assumed
he
would talk. Like, he was just like, oh, it's a talking ape, because he's also...
He's wearing a goddamn suit. He's wearing a tie.
He draws comics.
He draws, and he's able to give the characters in his comics speech bubbles, and they talk, and there's, like, writing in their speech bubbles. So it's not like he's incapable of it. He just doesn't do it, which is
odd. He's not incapable of it. He just doesn't – he understands English, but he just doesn't know how to speak it.
But he can write it? So why doesn't he, like, carry around, like, a whiteboard and write down things so people can read it, like if he were mute?
That's true.
But he doesn't.
No, he doesn't do any of that.
It's weird.
So I'm assuming this woman who's her landlord, I guess.
I guess.
Comes in. No, she comes in. Or just someone who lives in her building.
I think it's a landlord.
Yeah, she comes in. She's like, I got a case for you. And in comes Torso von Torso.
That's right.
Torso von Morso.
Torso von Morso, who kind of looks like he should, that he really wanted to be... on a Che shirt.
Actually, he's dressed like Sam L. Jackson.
Yeah, he's got like the backwards leather, what is that even?
He's got a Kangol hat.
That's it.
Right, and apparently, now this is where things get confusing. So here it establishes that he is the CEO of Pindars of North Hollywood.
Right? So I thought it was in L.A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I totally did.
It is not.
It's not, apparently. Apparently, but he's here.
Pindars of North Hollywood, you guys, just so you know, lingerie store.
Is it a real lingerie store?
No. I've never heard of it before. But in this book, it's a lingerie store. Because of course it is. And now you've got to watch this girl eat a banana.
That's right.
Also going on.
I missed that. I don't know how I missed that.
He like hands her a banana and she starts eating it in front of this guy, which women know not to eat bananas in front of random dudes. Like, yeah. So she's just like eating this banana, and then
that's like that George Carlin joke where he's talking about women eating like bananas in public. It's like we're watching and we're thinking. Right. You know,
these are things women have to think about in their daily lives. Like you have to break bananas into pieces and eat it if you want to eat it in public. Because dudes are creepy.
You know, there's a scene in the remake of Lolita where the girl is eating a banana, but she's kind of eating it like a corn on the cob. It's very strange. Or she's really? kind of like lightly skinning it with her teeth.
Ew.
But not. Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. It's one of those things where like when I was watching that movie, I had to watch that movie in grad school, and that was one of the things where somebody was like, this is very strange. Like, nobody eats a banana like that, like ever.
No one's ever eaten a banana that way.
Anyways, so we're talking about bananas.
What I think is really funny here is this guy, he's like, I'm here because one of my models is missing.
Right.
I really...
It's like his best model.
Bambi Dextrous.
Apparently it's like the only model
that matters. It's the only model that matters because apparently she's perfect for what he does. But he shows this picture of her... And he's like, oh, I majored in art at the New School. This is amazing. Look at how great she's making our lingerie. And, like, she's supposed to be doing, like, a send-up of...
the clamshell.
Yeah, the Venus painting. But you're selling lingerie, which she is wearing, and she's covering it with her hands. So I'm not exactly sure how that works.
That's a good funny.
For selling a product. But he's very, very proud of this picture. And so he wants to find this girl.
Right.
Right. And he's like, please help us, blah, 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 blah. And here's $5,000. And then I'm going to get up and leave. And, oh, by the way, I'm wearing assless chaps.
I had to look twice at that.
Because he's fully clothed everywhere else, dressed like Samuel L. Jackson. And he turns around and all you get is butt cheek.
Actually, I kind of like the monkey looking here. Mm-hmm. He's like, ooh.
See, they're monkey.
What?
See, sometimes he has funny, like, this is him looking at the picture of that girl, so see, his eyes get all big, because obviously he likes that girl and wants to have sex with her. That's how you can tell what's going on in the monkey's head. He gets different facial expressions.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's actually kind of...
I mean, the monkey is cute. I enjoy the endearing. Monkey. I will have to say I like the monkey. So, everything else is stupid, but the monkey is dumb. Oh, no, wait. The monkey is not dumb. I like the monkey. Everything else is stupid.
Yeah, everything else surrounding him is stupid.
Yeah, because there's that girl again, just stripping down, and then so the guy leaves, and his partner strips down to change, and of course she does it in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And then he shows
her his latest, the monkey,
his new comic.
Sam, let's call him Sam.
Sam.
Sam shows Angel his comic, which is called Hey Boy and Miss Thing.
And you see, they've got speech bubbles.
I know, so, well, but you can't really read what it's saying, so maybe it's just like gibberish.
I'm assuming it must not be gibberish. He wrote Hey Boy and Miss Thing at the top, you could read that.
Well, maybe she named it.
Maybe.
I have a lot of ways of discounting this.
Yes.
Is that this monkey cannot actually speak anything, you know, but somehow... It's okay in society.
The other thing I really want to point out about every single character in this book, save the monkey, Sam, because he doesn't speak, and Angel, because she doesn't seem aware, is everybody else talks about all the really fucked up sex they have.
Oh, yeah.
They're all horny bastards, and they're always like, yeah, we're fucking... every fucking character in the book except the two of them.
Well, it's a Vertigo comic.
But I just... Every character except them, I just found was weird.
Well,
like, so then they leave to go investigate, but they go to a nail salon first, and I don't even understand the conversation that Angel has with that woman.
Yeah, I know.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's like, I read it, and I was like, I don't understand.
And she gives her, like, a giant stack of money.
Like, a lot of money to do her nails.
But I feel like there's some sort of, like...
Something's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I read that nail salon article in the New York Times. They're not going to give that much money. It's human trafficking an issue. There's a lot of issues with nail salons in New York. Just as an FYI, this is a thing that's going on.
Right now. Oh, okay.
But anyway, but they have a weird conversation that makes no fucking sense. And then they go out onto the street, and there's a full page here where it doesn't have anything else to do with the rest of the story. And I really feel like this is the writer just coming in saying, I really want to make a comment about New York in the early 2000s. So I'm going to make this character say it, but it doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't affect anything else that's going on in the rest of the story.
Right.
Because she just bitches about, like, how New York is not New York anymore, even though she's not from here, and, like, Giuliani's taking all this credit for making it, like, you know, crime-free, and that's bullshit, and blah, blah, blah. It's, like, this weird thing, and then it just doesn't...
It just goes back into the story.
And especially because this girl seems to be kind of oblivious. I don't really see her saying that. It's kind of like the writer just really wanted to make this point, and he was like, I'm going to put it here.
Guys, the monkey can't
I'm going to put it here. I can't go on the internet and put it on my fucking blog like everybody
this
else.
This little gag here, instead of gap, it says jip.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Funny. So, yeah, so that happens.
So, actually, I just kind of figured this out. So, I understand it's in New York City now because it's Pinder's North Hollywood.
Frederick's.
It's like Frederick of Hollywood. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense now.
Didn't Frederick's of Hollywood go bankrupt or something?
I feel like it's in every mall.
I know, but I thought they were closing, like, a bunch of them.
Well, maybe. So, anyways, they go to this place, apparently, Pinder's in North Hollywood is based out of New York, and they go...
To this really gross area of town.
Gross area of town to talk to Mr. Torso.
Which I don't even know if they have those in New York anymore.
And the monkey and Angel walk in, and there's... It's funny, because it's like your... Well, I mean, yeah, it's your typical, like, sleazy office.
It's like an office/lingerie place. I guess it's their headquarters. There's a receptionist... She sends him to the back where they're, like, taking pictures of another model in lingerie. And then, this is another thing I didn't understand because Mr. Torso is there.
Yeah.
And which is fine. But then he came to them to be like, she's the perfect model.
Yeah.
The Bambi girl. And then he starts talking about how much he hated her.
Yeah. I just noticed that, too. I'm like,
wait a second, what? Because he didn't give any indication that he
just
didn't
basically
like her.
Literally walked in and said, she's a perfect model, please find her.
Yeah, please find this woman. And then we go back to where he is with his employees, and everybody's like, no one liked her, fuck her, she's terrible.
I mean, maybe.
Like, then why did you ask to find
But everybody's
woman?
Saying, well, then also this other model saying something about her.
Like, she's a horrible syphilitic whore or something.
Syphilitic
I believe whore. She says syphilitic whore. Yeah, she does. And she hopes that she's dead, which that's what you want to tell people who come around asking for information on somebody who's missing is, oh, they're gone. I really hope they're dead.
I am not a suspect, thank you.
I am not a suspect in this possible murder, maybe not.
Yeah.
So, but then she also asks, then the model also asks to have a threesome with Angel and the ape.
Yeah.
Randomly, apparently, that's a thing that happens to real people in the real world when you just walk into a room.
Well, I mean, you know, these people say, this is a book where everybody's, you know, sure. horny and, you know, ready to...
Ready to fuck, and they're like, no, thank you. And she's like, I understand.
Understandably so, too.
They're like, and she's like, that's cool. Respect.
Well, I kind of like it, though, because she's like, I think it's funny because the monkey's like, or Angel speaks for Sam, monkey. And she's like, yeah, he won't go near anything where knowing where it's been. Like, as if, like, you know, he's got a type and stuff, like, and she knows all about it.
He's a monkey. He will shit in his own hand and throw it at you. That is what monkeys
Maybe he does. I mean, he does wear a suit. And it looks pretty nice on him.
It does. It is a very nice suit.
He's got a vest and everything.
He does. And he does. And I'm very, very impressed. But at the same time, he's a monkey.
Yeah.
So, I've seen them at the zoo.
Yeah, I know. I've seen them. Yes. So they go ahead and I tell her to go ask to speak to Bambi's ex-husband.
Yeah.
And they
can't get in.
They can't get in.
Because she's got a doorman at her apartment building. So they climb the apartment, they scale the apartment building, and apparently Sam is afraid of heights, but he does it anyway, and they break into this woman's apartment.
Yep.
And while they're supposed to be investigating, Angel decides that she needs to steal one of Barbie's dresses and put it on. Of course, she's butt-ass naked, so you get seen a lot of crack.
Yeah.
When she puts it on. Because that's what you should do if you're investigating things, is just steal the person's clothing.
Well, I mean, you know, they assume that maybe maybe
she's it's a $1,000 dress. I'm just going to take it. So she does. And she puts it on, and then they hear a noise, I think.
Yeah, they hear a noise. Now, is this guy, like, also in the same bedroom?
I feel like he busts in.
Oh, it's a guy from the police office.
He's the actual cop, right?
Yeah, he's an actual cop.
So it just happens to be, like, he showed up.
But why is he sneaking around, like, looking at all her shit?
Maybe he heard them. And,
why does it look like a kid's bedroom?
It really does. It really does look like a kid's bedroom.
It's actually very creepy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like this.
Well, it doesn't make any sense because she's supposed to be married.
Yeah, because there's a picture of her. Like, I don't know. I'm assuming she's married. And then, wait, that's the husband.
So is this...
And is
it's
that...
Not, it's just her apartment, right? Because they're ex. So is that her family? I'm assuming that's her family.
Her family from four, maybe? I don't know. It's
no,
weird.
I think that's her, like, her mom, her dad, her brother.
Okay, so it's her family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But then, like, it is, kind of a little kid's bedroom, because there's a lot of stuffed animals. There's pictures on the walls of, like, bear, like, you know, stuffed bears, teddy bears and stuff. It's kind of creepy. Not kind of. It's really creepy. I don't know why that was... But also, there's a whole drawer full of tiny thong underwear in this bedroom. So it's a little creepy.
And this cop is, like, giant.
Yeah, he's this giant man, and he, like, sees...
Because in relation to the underwear, it looks like he's, like, fucking Manute Bol. Or, like, you know, like, Big Show.
This is what Andre the Giant looks like if he was to pick up a pair of extra small panties.
That's probably a fetish for somebody.
Yeah, that's definitely
giant men picking up underwear.
Giant, I mean, because his hands are huge. A giant man picking up tiny underwear.
Yeah. So anyway, so he busts Sam and Angel in there,
and they yell at each other.
I think now is he saying like here like I'm just looking out for the woman I love. Is he in love with her?
I'm assuming he's in love with her, with Angel.
Yeah.
And he's like, get out of here, you know, you're not supposed to be here, whatever. And she's like, meh. And she walks out, and then he like, all of his speech bubbles turn to hearts. And he's like, oh, gulp, gasp, because apparently he loves her.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. So then they go back to their house slash office.
This is where they live, apparently.
Slash, and order a pizza. While Angel is like, look at my butt, this dress is so short, if I bend over, you can see my tan lines. Tee-hee. And then the door rings, and someone gives them a pizza, and then...
Yeah, I think it's some woman who, lives...
I get the impression that this is a trans woman.
Yeah.
And that,
she looks like Iggy Pop.
Kinda, yeah. And she actually looks like she's wearing the same dress. How embarrassing.
That's kind of funny, actually.
Wearing the same outfit. But apparently she's got a crush on Sam.
Yeah.
And Sam won't come to the door. So he hides amongst the millions of pipes that they have.
Oh, that's right. Well, what is the thing? Because that will look here.
Right, that's...
So this is like the upper building, but like...
Right, it's definitely not a basement apartment. But there's a lot of pipes. I mean... I don't know. I've never lived in New York. Are there that many exposed pipes on first-floor apartments?
Not first-floor apartments.
I mean, a basement apartment. Yeah. A basement apartment.
Because I've stayed in, stayed in somebody's house in this place in Brooklyn, and it was in a basement.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, yeah, it makes sense.
I absolutely believe it in a basement, but not on a first floor.
I know these are minor things, but it bothers me.
I know. Unless they installed those just so he could, hang out on them, but... Wouldn't it be more like bars instead of pipes? Because those are definitely pipes.
Anyway, so they find her a pizza. She brings a pizza.
Pizza. So then she gets butt-ass naked, because apparently she's not wearing any underwear with this dress, so there's her ass again. But then as she's taking off her dress, she walks into a door.
Because she's stupid.
Because she's also dumb. And then, is this the next day or later?
I'm assuming it's next day.
So they go to a construction site, and she dresses like Jessica Simpson in the Dukes of Hazzard movie.
Right.
With, tiny, tiny shorts and, plaid.
Flannel.
And then she puts on, a hard hat, and...
She goes and yells at the ex-husband, who's a guy.
Like a contractor.
Contractor or whatever.
And yelling at him, and he's like, no, but really, I know she's a model, but, she was a virgin when she met me, and then we had sex, and then she got addicted to sex, and then she started fucking everything! Like, all the things.
It's all about sex.
Threesomes, other dudes, but then, a donkey and a rabbit, I think, or rabbit is mentioned?
Dog and pony.
Yeah. So, basically, the thesis of this book is that all the women are whores.
Did Frank Miller write this?
Yeah. Whores. Could not get out of this book without making anybody a whore. So all of the girls, except the main character, and she's just dumb, are slutty sluts. So, they're as they're about to leave, there's this huge cement block that just happens to fall.
Well... Somebody attempted to drop it on them.
Was it dropped on them, or did it just randomly fall?
It feels like it was being...
Maybe somebody was trying to kill them?
Oh, no, it looked like it was random.
I don't know, I can't tell, because it's right above them, but...
What you can see here is kind of like a frayed line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it was on accident or on purpose, but this big cement block drops. The ape pushes everybody out of the way, and the cement block shatters, and of course on the inside is dead Bambi. And she's wearing a French maid costume, and by the way, looks amazing for being encased in cement.
Well, that and also...
Her clothes are perfect. Her makeup's perfect.
But also being crushed in a cement block, falling from that height.
Right, oh yeah.
How is it that her body hasn't just exploded?
It should have. She should be in pieces.
It should just be a bunch of blood everywhere.
No.
But no.
And she's also dead, so she should look dead. But she doesn't. She looks great.
No, she's probably
alive. Yeah.
So that's it. And that's how we end on the first issue of the Vertigo reboot of Angel and the Ape, number one, from October 2001. I think we should do something a little bit different in our episodes.
What?
And so say whether or not you would want to read the next issue.
Oh, okay. I'm for that. All right.
So, I put that to you first.
Probably not.
I'm slightly intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
Because say for a few panels.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's got a definite story and plot. There's this dead woman. It's kind of like watching an episode of SUV where everybody's, sluts.
SUV.
SVU. Damn it. SVU, where
I thought you were doing it on purpose, but
no. No, I always fuck that one up. SVU, where everybody sluts.
Sluts, yes.
And so, like if they did a Cinemax version.
Yeah, it's basically like a Cinemax, or basically like an FX version of this book.
It's just like this is what you would see on, like, you know, because all the gratuitous nudity and stuff, this would be on, like, USA Up All Night.
Yeah,
like, I can see like that. Back of the day, or like you'd probably like this is for us real old people. You'd try to watch it through, like, you know, when you couldn't get that channel, you'd try to watch it through the scramble. Mm. Like, maybe I could see a boob. Like, yeah,
my father would have rented this if this on DVD. If this was on tape in 1988, I would have seen this.
Right, if it was like an Emmanuel movie?
No, not an Emmanuel movie, but just like my dad probably would have been at the video store and would have been like, hey, this looks good. What's this? That's about an angel and an ape. All right,
you know what? My dad probably would have rented this too.
See, I don't know.
No, the reason I say that is because it has a big ape, which he would assume would be talking, and he would find that amusing. But my dad is also the guy who came home with, like, Krull, like, 9 times. He's been like, who wants to watch Krull again?
I liked Krull. I watch that. Krull right now.
My dad loves that fucking movie. Back.
Oh, my God.
What the hell, man?
I'm so gassy. This is horrible podcasting. Anyway.
Are you gassy because you're watching the Divas match on Silent?
Yes, it messes with my GI track. all these colors and their outfits.
Was it? Oh, I think it was like one of those like sub blogs on Deadspin or something. There was like a wrestling thing where it says like the best wrestling right now is women's wrestling.
Well, because it's on NXT. It's not on. It's not necessarily this stuff.
It's not on. It's on in the farm league.
It's in the league. It's in the stuff that everybody, you know, all the cool people are watching. This is okay. It's not very good. It's better than it could. It's better than it should be, but it's not the best. I think our buddy Paul Vernon might have something to say about this.
Ladies wrestling. All right.
So speaking of ladies wrestling, the Human Fly. Human Fly from Marvel Comics, number 4.
Can I just say one thing real quick before we start talking about this? I appreciate Paige. In the same way that I appreciate Seamus.
That they're extremely pale?
Yes. They, like me, are the same color of how the fuck are you so fucking pale?
Yes.
Because I am also that pale.
Well, they are.
And I can't. I'm the color of a wall. So I appreciate it. It's nice to see myself represented on
TV. From, you know, they're from the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
Across the sea.
Sea. So. All right. Anyway. So... Human Fly.
The Human Fly from Marvel Comics. Stan Lee presents the Human Fly. I bet he did.
Stan Lee presents fucking everything.
Actually, well, yeah, from the December 2000... I'm sorry. It's number 4 from December 1977.
All right, old comic.
Old as shit.
Older than us.
And I'm like, actually, I like, on the inside page here, there's this ad for Pizzazz magazine.
Who's that guy supposed to be?
That's Stan.
No, it's not.
It's right here. It says Stan Lee says that he's
Hey. Stan Lee has looked exactly like he looks right now for the past 78 years.
I understand that, but that's why I was like, that's why I love this stuff. I'm looking at Stan.
Fucking Stan Lee.
And Stan Lee looks like the guy from the Angel and Ape book. He's got this giant, he just looks gigantic.
He looks like somebody who would star opposite Tom Selleck. Like he looks like buddy cop drama. All right. That is not fucking Stan Lee.
If Stan Lee ever makes it into the XXX world,
oh God, I hope not.
Of parodies,
no.
He will be played by this guy.
Sure, XXX parody Stan Lee. I buy.
That's what I'm saying.
Actual Stan Lee.
No, Stan Lee's not dead yet. Stan Lee.
No, I've seen pictures of Stan Lee from like back in the early 60s. He looks exactly the same as he does now. But he's always been old.
But this art looks like he's basically like the brawny.
Yeah, he's the brawny towel man brawny with like, man. You know, white in his temples. And that's not true at all.
No, he was fucking dirt by this time. It was 1976.
You see, he's just, Stan Lee is one of those guys who's just, even when he was young, he looked old. And that's okay, you know, because really you just settle into that and you look the same for the rest of your life and that's all right.
Yeah, there's a handful of people that we know.
But he does not look like that.
He has old life.
It's all...
Yeah. Hey. Anyway, so he's responsible for the human flying. He presents it. And this is actually, this might be true to you, it might be fun for you, because this is based in Colorado, I think.
Well, it's based somewhere in the Rocky Mountains.
Okay.
Whether it is not, it's Colorado or not, they do not mention specifically.
So the human fly is a guy.
He's a stuntman.
He's a stuntman. Now, do you know that you probably don't know the story?
Sure don't know anything about it. All I got is that he was a stuntman.
So the human fly is actually Canadian.
So I mean, he could be in the Canadian Rockies.
It's true. Actually, that's a very good point. Because the Rockies are big.
Yes, they are.
He could be in Saskatchewan.
Yes.
and he is, and he was a stuntman who got into, like, a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, his family was killed in this accident.
Oh, no.
But he survived, and most of his bones were replaced with steel things, because apparently in the comic book world, if your bones are like pretty much, if like if your entire skeleton is replaced with steel,
with some sort of metal,
or some sort of, or just steel and steel, like steel in general. Like I mean, people get steel screws and things like that, but I mean, most of his bones are replaced with steel. And basically, he became able to like train and do something where he is able to, you know, like be much more athletic. As the human fly, you know, as this human fly person.
That happens a lot in the Marvel Universe, people replacing skeletons.
Yeah, no, exactly. Metal. But I mean, but the thing about Wolverine is, like, his skeleton, like, adamantium fused to his bones, or, like, vibranium, like, those are hardcore fake metals.
Right.
This is just straight up, like, stainless steel.
Oh, man. You know, or whatever. Human fly, they just got out of the shaft. They're like, you don't even get cool metal.
No, you don't get cool metal. It's
just regular old surgical steel.
And he only exists in, like, this book only. I don't think he ever appeared... I have to double-check, but I don't think he appeared in anything else other than just, like, this small series, short series of books.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe... And there already was, like, a human fly character that was also in Spider-Man that was a villain.
Who was an actual...
Who was actual, like, man-hybrid fly.
Right, who could, like, walk up buildings and stuff, right?
Well, so look at this guy.
But can he... Why can he walk? Is it just because he's like a stuntman? He can climb a building.
Well, he's able to like he has like suction devices and stuff.
But it's not like his actual hands stick to walls.
He's got like things that allow him to do that.
Right, but they're devices.
Devices,
like,
yeah.
Thing like
no, like his skin, like he's not like Spider-Man.
Right, that's what I'm asking. Okay,
right.
Yeah.
No, of course, but yeah, that's yeah, that's basically anyway. So he's being
there's no whores in this book. I just wanted to point that out.
Why?
There's no whores in this book.
No.
There's whores in the last book. This book, a dearth of whores. Anyway, so the human fly.
So, anyways, he's being pistol-whipped by, I think his name is Mr. Martinet.
Yes.
For some reason, though, he's dressed like an asshole.
Yeah.
He's dressed in this, like, this
it
yellow
does, it doesn't make sense why this guy's wearing cape. This outfit when you get... what he actually does for a living, because you do get that later, and you're like, why are you wearing a costume?
Like he's just dressed like he's like some sort of, he's got some sort of powers, or some sort of like, you know, the costume benefit, and...
He's just wearing a costume.
He's wearing a costume, like a jackass.
Maybe he's just like, you know, everybody else gets to wear a costume.
And he's pissed.
Run around. I don't want to wear a costume and run around.
He's got a big M on his chest, he looks ripped as fuck.
He does.
Anyway, so the human fly, I think he... So
there's something going on in the book beforehand where apparently this girl has been abducted. And this girl is in a wheelchair because she's been paralyzed from an earlier bout of polio, which is a thing and why we vaccinate our kids so they don't get polio.
Yep.
But so she got polio and she's in a wheelchair for life because it left her unable to use her legs. So she's been kidnapped by this guy. He thinks. Apparently, as the book goes on, which we'll find out, that's not actually the case. So, the human fly has gone to rescue her, and now he's been captured by the masked guy's henchman, and he's getting pistol-whipped in the face.
Yeah, so human fly right off the bat, not doing very good.
Nope, having a bad day.
And this poor girl, this polio girl, is like,
she's
what's
just
going
out
on?
Completely.
What is happening? Yeah. You know, and he's like, you're my daughter. meh, you know, whatever. Yeah. So,
yeah, apparently she's his daughter, but not Fly's marionette guy.
Yeah, marionette. Fly is just a guy.
No, I mean, the polio girl's is marionette's daughter.
Yeah.
So that's when the human Fly is starting to realize that maybe not everything is as it seems, because he was told by another dude that his daughter had been abducted.
Right.
So they're both claiming that this girl is their daughter.
He's quite analytical.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on here.
Yeah.
So anyways, we cut to some folks that apparently the human Fly's buddies.
Yep. And one of them has a claw for hand.
He has a claw for hand.
Which actually is amazing, because he's like leaning on it like pensively, like he's like contemplating. It's a really great picture, I gotta say, because it's like pensively contemplating.
I wonder if I should use that
against this hook
as our cover image.
It's a pretty great image. I have to say,
I might use that
from this book.
I might use that.
It's pretty good.
But there's another better image coming up.
There is a good one. Yeah, this one has a couple on it.
This one has a hook for a hand. So
I know, but he's like leaning against it on his chin, like the thinker with a hook hand. It's just cool.
Right. So, don't worry about this guy. What's his deal?
I don't even know what his deal is.
What does he end up doing?
Right now he's just wearing a turtleneck. He's got a hook hand. That's it. He's flying in a plane with a
chin. He was in most books in the Marvel, and if he was in like the Marvel universe, like in the movies, and it was just like a guy with a hook hand, he just went.
Who just thinks about things?
And he just thought about, he was just like some guy in the universe. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, that guy's awesome.
Yeah, that guy's great.
He's got some great hair. Look at that.
He does. He's got amazing hair. Thinking, wearing a turtleneck. This guy's awesome.
Anyway, so now we're back to some more of these fellow assholes of his. You know, the Flies. I don't know who these people. Somebody's named Arnie.
I feel like this is when they go, okay, so what ends up happening, because it's very convoluted, marionette guy and this guy lives in this big mansion. These two are warring arms manufacturers.
Okay.
And
as if the Marvel Universe needs more of them.
Right. And they're like, oh no, the market has been saturated by all of our arms, so now we're going to fight each other for control of the market. Which, if this is in Canada, you fuckers are above America. It will never be saturated with enough arms. Because Americans love guns. So I don't think that could actually possibly happen.
What, that this be in Canada?
No, that there would be too many guns.
In Canada?
No, just anywhere. They're like, we can't sell our guns because there's too many guns. I'm like, I don't think that's a thing that actually happens, guys.
I think most people are worried about their guns going away.
Right. I'm like, there's like stockpiles, and I'm sure that they would buy more. So there's no such thing as too many, like the market being saturated with guns. Seems to be one of those things that does not have.
Did Charlton Heston write this?
Yes. This is an NRA book.
It's an NRA.
And so now they're going to fight each other.
Well, they're going to fight each other.
Because they might as well.
Sure.
But they're also fighting over this girl who both of them say is their daughter.
My daughter!
Which, you know, maybe we find out later what actually happened, but I think a much more interesting story would be that they are former lovers who had adopted a child, and now they are in a bitter custody dispute.
Oh, like gay lovers?
Yeah. And like they were married, now it's over, and now they're in a bitter custody dispute. That's much more interesting.
I don't think Stanley in 1976 were ready for that.
Yeah, that could happen today.
That would be actually, that would make a lot of sense, though. Warring.
It makes much more fucking sense of what actually is going on. I'm like, okay.
Actually, I would love it. That'd be great if it was an angry, bitter the estranged gay couple.
It makes more
that
sense.
That were also
arms manufacturers.
Filthy rich arms manufacturers.
Yeah.
Fighting, you know, and while the human Fly of all fucking people is like, I'm gonna help out here. You know, and whatever. So this is fucking crazy.
Yeah. So like back with the human Fly, he's still unconscious and they like drag him down a path.
Yeah, he's in some shuttles.
Yeah, and in like a mountain. And so he comes to and he escapes. And he runs down like all these tunnels.
And he's lost. Or supposedly he's gonna be lost
There's a lot of ads in this book also. Oh, I just wanted to point out there's a ton of ads in this book.
These kids look creepy as shit though.
Well, they are creepy as shit.
Yeah, because you could be the Hulk or the Spider-Man and they have, like, these kids dressed up as Hulk and Spider-Man, but they're, like...
Their heads are gigantic, but their bodies are child size.
No, but they kind of look ripped, though. Like, look how big those kids' arms are.
Yeah, it's weird. It's the other thing is, this
it's
is
like
back...
It's puck.
This is back in the day when you would actually find ads for BB guns in these comic books.
I'm not going to lie, though. I want these stamp pads.
What are they? Let me see.
Stamp pads!
Oh, they're like stamps with like Silver Surfer and Iron Man
Surfer,
and stuff.
And yeah, there's actually Vision.
Oh, I'd like those.
And
that's
this,
fun.
I think, is a apparently this here in the corner is a Ghost Rider action figure of some sort with interchangeable heads between the Ghost Rider and Johnny Blaze. I don't know if
that's
this,
actually kind of fun.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, does this exist? Like, who owns this? And it was only like $3.
What do you think would happen if we actually like cut it out and sent it in?
They would just send it back to us.
Oh.
Heroes World. Ooh, Heroes World. The Livingston Mall in Livingston, New Jersey. You know what? I think we need to go.
It's probably not even there anymore.
Guys, if Heroes World, if you work at Heroes World, let us know.
Or if you live in New Jersey and know of Heroes World.
If you live in New Jersey, just tell us.
You know, we could just Google it.
No.
No, wait for people to tweet.
Go on.
Anyway, so Human Fly runs away, and then...
Human flies in the caverns, and he pulls out his light scepter, his light baton.
Well,
apparently.
The only reason he does that is because he comes to a dead end, and Marionette unleashes two panthers, which are also ripped.
Oh, geez, yeah, look at that. Yeah, those are
these are some ripped panthers.
They're like they're ripped to those kids in those costumes.
Yeah, so he like blinds them with his light scepter, and then he
why does a human fly have a light scepter? I don't know, but that's what he has.
He's got one.
Apparently
so
he's
like,
got social gimmicks. He's like Batman, but
he blinds
sucks.
Him, and then somehow he finds the exit, and he feels really bad, but he has to kill this panther, and he throws it off a cliff.
Well, no, what happens is the panther charges at him,
yeah,
and so he ducks.
He's like, I've never killed anything before, but it's you or me.
And
he hits the panther with
his light stick as it jumps by.
Yep.
And
where did the other one go? There were two panthers.
I don't know. Actually, hang on, let me go back here. No, wait, one of them got knocked out because they jumped into each other, you see?
Oh, I see. Okay, I got
it. So now there's just an unconscious panther carcass.
And now a dead panther.
And now a dead panther that flew off a building, apparently.
No, fall off mountain.
A mountain, which has actually got to be horrifying for these tanks below.
Yeah.
You know, they probably just saw a fucking flying animal.
Panther. But he feels bad. He apologizes for killing the panther.
I know, but
in his head, he's like, "I'm so sorry, I had to kill you, Panther."
I don't know. I thought it was funny.
And as after he throws the panther off a cliff, he looks up and he sees like. So apparently, these arms manufacturers also have like mechanical warbirds, and they're not like planes; they're like
actual condors.
Like mechanical fucking eagles and shit that people ride. It's really, I don't know why.
And why has this not been introduced into the world? I mean, come on.
If that's the kind of arms these guys are manufacturing, I can't imagine that anybody would not want to have those. Cool. I would want one.
We would probably be having a very good, we'd probably be having like,
I would want one instead of a car. Like, I want, like, a mechanical bird.
Do they actually, like, do anything, though?
They seem to just flap.
I know, they're just, like, flapping.
But that's what I mean. Like, I could use that instead of a car. We could just park it outside. Just... And take... That's a bird taking off, by the way.
Oh, he has his own letters page.
Oh, it's called Fly Papers.
Only four letters in. He's gonna be canceled a few later. I'm like, I think he only gets, like, issue 18.
Sorry, Human Fly.
Yeah.
So he sees this going on.
Sensational idea of making a superhero out of a real life daredevil. But he's not real!
Well, was there a real life daredevil called the Human Fly? I don't know, maybe.
No, there was, because don't you remember, like, on the Simpsons episode where there's, like, something's going on, and, like, the Human Fly is on the building. He's like, everybody, look up here, Human Fly!
Yeah, but I don't think he was a real guy.
I think there was, in the 70s, there was, like, a stuntman, or, like, just a gimmick guy that climbed buildings and used a human fly.
Well, I think a lot of people tried to do that back in the day. They all tried to do the Tom Cruise and fucking Mission Impossible stick to a wall or window. But anyway, so he's like, oh no, it's happening. And then we're waiting to turn the page. Too many ads.
Holy
more,
shit.
I told you this thing is chock full of ads. The story was obviously short.
T-shirts?
Yes. You can get a Disco Duck t-shirt.
I can get everything here.
Disco Duck t-shirt.
Look at this one here. I guess it says, "Don't bug me, I bite." And it's just a picture of a dog sleeping. Not even like a medicine dog.
Is it a dog sleeping? Oh, yeah. It is a dog sleeping. It's a fat dog sleeping, too. It's like Tully. If he were a dog.
Crazy David's Shops. Oh, look at him. He looks like Charles Manson.
He sure does.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Right, let's get out of here.
All right.
So
the battle is underway.
Battle's underway between two millionaires fighting over a girl with polio.
Yes. And they're shooting each other.
It's actually really funny because like, it's literally like World War III.
I know. And it actually was really funny. It's like the only speech bubbles in this thing are people going, "Yeah! Yug!
Yes!"
Why is somebody saying "yeah"? Like, yeah!
Yeah, I know. There should be somebody saying "yes!" Yeah.
And they're flying around on fucking hovercraft.
Yas, I mean, queen.
And they're fighting like in what appears to be like a very small portion of a mountain.
Yeah. And they're just, I mean, like, shit's on fire. And they're like,
this guy's falling here. Look at
that guy die.
Yog guy is falling.
So, and they're, the human fly somehow, so here's like a flappy thing. Like one of those.
Well, he hops on his helicopter.
Flappy condor things.
He's jumped on, like, one of his friend's helicopters.
Right, to get up to the battle. And then he's like, I'm going to jump onto this flappy condor guy. And he jumps onto its foot. But if he's jumping onto this one, he says the pilot...
Oh, he's jumping onto the tail.
Right. But see, it's this one that he's jumping onto is what I'm assuming, right? This guy's looking right at the human fly. Because it's from front on, and then he jumps onto the back of it. And then he goes, oh, good. The pilot hasn't seen me, but he totally did. And then he just punches this guy in the head and he falls off.
Maybe he flew past him and then he jumped on it.
Oh, maybe. Anyway, so he knocks this guy out. He falls to the ground. Apparently he lives. And the human fly takes over the bird.
So he takes over the bird and then he tries to jump on the hovercraft where asshole man Martinet.
And his...
Martinet is there with his polio kid.
Yeah.
And something happens where he crashes the...
Hovercraft thing into the other guy.
Into the other guy, which how not everybody here is just fucking decimated.
They should all be dead.
They should all be dead.
There's
especially
a lot of fire.
The girl in the wheelchair.
Yeah, how she didn't like roll off this hovercraft like right here is beyond
me. Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, come on. She's not very secure out there.
She's not even strapped in.
Even with her brakes on her wheelchair.
She should have like,
she's just
off.
Falling off like a hunk. She's just falling there and it's just like this thing is over.
Yeah, it should be.
These guys are like, she's falling in the... She's in a ravine right now.
Yes.
She's impaled on a tree.
Yes. And so finally...
off the side of a mountain. This poor kid.
Excuse me. As this is going on, she's like, my father's... And the human fly is like, what? And she's like, yes. Dr. Marionette's my actual father.
Yeah, I'll let you explain
like
this.
Like, my literal biological father. Because my mother married him. But... as soon as I was born, she realized that money was making him terrible, and so she divorced him and took me with her and married the other guy. And so he is my stepfather.
But then he got into money.
So he started being terrible too. And then my mom died. And so since these two can't fight over my mom anymore, they're fighting over me.
Also, I have polio.
But, I mean... these guys have tons of money.
Yes.
Don't they have anything else better to do?
No, apparently not. This guy's wearing a freaking costume.
But they invented flappy condor birds.
The birds don't do anything.
If I had a flappy condor bird, all I would do is take it.
They also
ride.
Invented whatever looks like this giant tank that's got like
and hover things. That guy's got a hovercraft. That guy has a literal fucking hovercraft, and all they're doing is fighting over this girl instead of being like, hey, maybe we should just like pay tuition and send her to school. They're like fighting over her and almost knocking her off a mountain.
Awful.
Get a hobby, you guys. Jesus Christ. That's why I say it would make more sense if these two were, like, gay men in a bitter custody dispute over their adopted child.
Well, this is funny, though, because later on, so she falls. She, in this whole fight, she gets, like...
Knocked back.
She's, like, about to fall off the mountain or something. And
somehow he saves her, but this doesn't make any sense how he saves her. Because he jumps off the thing, arms first, and somehow... swings back around and is able to grab onto the mountain and save her.
grabs her, and then
it's a strange
and then whips her back up in the mountain
and just like throws her, and she lives.
I call bullshit.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because he went off the mountain, like diving off a diving board. He should not be able to turn around and throw her back up.
And that, especially at probably at whatever velocity he's doing.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, I
and
feel
to see
that
how
like
far she is.
Right, I feel that's like physically impossible against his sort of momentum.
I mean,
he's
I know
got.
He's a daredevil.
Yeah, but that's
and
still
I understand
not
that
possible.
Maybe he's got the, but he's got fucking steel bones.
Yeah, wouldn't that make him really heavy?
Yeah.
So that makes him fall faster.
This is actually kind of funny here. I just realized. So this is the kind of brings credence to your gay couple thing.
Yeah.
Where like she's falling and they're like, our daughter
telling
is
you.
Being taken from us. I'm
it
like,
makes more sense if they're a gay couple.
Just like the, her mother, the woman we both love. Like they just yell it out while this dipshit's jumping.
There's actually another part that there's a random yelly. I have to go back and show you this because it was really funny. Where the human fly yells out what he's doing, like narrates it.
Well, that's how that's every comic.
No, book. But it's really funny. This is the way he does it. Where is it? I think it's when he crashes.
Ugh.
No.
This is fascinating.
This is good. There it is. When he gets onto their hovercraft, because he runs. See, he's the condor goes scree.
And he goes ram.
And he goes ram, and then he goes, "I did it." Did you see what he's saying? I can't.
I did it. I guided the condor right into the
Marionette's flyer. Martinette's flyer, whatever his name is. I just think that's hilarious that you would yell that out loud.
I win!
I did it, you guys!
Oh, shut up.
So anyway.
Shut up, everybody.
Polio Girl is saved, and that cool guy with the hook hand and his buddy, like, and his lady friend land the plane that they've been flying in. To be like, we're here to help you, Human Fly, now that you don't need any help. And Human Fly just, like, shames these two
guys.
Well,
rightfully so.
And they're like, you're terrible. This is your daughter. You shouldn't be like that. And they're both like, and he's like, we're going to go take her to the hospital so we can get her the best care that money could buy.
Yeah.
And then he, like, walks away. And that's the end of that.
That's the end of that. And then something happens next month with the Inferno. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's the Human Fly.
Human Fly.
In December of 1976, number 4.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you read number 5?
I don't think so.
See, that's
I think I could buy without not reading the Human Fly again.
Yeah, for me, I'm like, I don't know, I think I'd actually pick up another Human Fly and pick up the next issue.
There's a lot of action, though.
There's a lot of action, but there's a lot of, like, forethought, a lot of, you know, thinking in his part about not wanting to harm.
Yeah, that's a big thing I read.
That's a really big thing for him to, and I kind of enjoy that because a lot of heroes give lip service to it, but he's actually like, I don't even want to kill the Panther. I'm hoping I can do this without hurting this guy I'm going to knock out.
It's true.
So I kind of appreciate that aspect of his character.
It's probably why he didn't last very long, though.
Yeah, he just gotta straight up kill people like Superman does.
Yeah, flip the fuck out Superman or whatever.
Yeah, especially if they're aliens who are absorbing your energy. You can kill them, it's cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Superman will just fucking rip your dick off. Rip your alien dick off and be like, fuck that
Would
shit.
Would he bloodlessly remove your penis?
and then he would yell, I did it! I bloodlessly removed his alien penis!
You guys, reference...
it's a dollop reference.
An episode of a podcast called The Dollop with Dave, Anthony, and Gareth Reynolds, which if you are not listening to, you should be, because it's really fucking funny.
Yeah.
And it's from an episode called The Dolphin.
Right.
Just listen to it. That's all I'm going to say.
Nice plug.
Yeah. plug for podcasts not even on your network.
No. But I like Dave, but Dave Anthony's quite
He's
great. And so is Gareth. So they're both great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I don't know.
Human Fly
though, he is, you know, the thing about him though is he's a character that I don't think exists outside of whatever shit was happening in 1976.
Like, he doesn't even get, like, to be on a team. Everybody gets to be on a team.
No, I mean, not everybody gets to be on a team.
But I feel like everybody gets to be on a team. I think that's the thing. That's why there's so many goddamn team-up books. They're like, let's put all the people.
I'll have to do a bit more research on him to see if there's anything else that came up for him. because I'm just curious to see. But I mean, he sounds like
maybe he's lucky. Maybe he could end up in a book. I realize it's not a Marvel book, but he could end up in something like Primal Force.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. We were gonna read that this week.
We were gonna read Primal Force number 7 because it had a cover with like mullet Superman and bike shorts Wonder Woman and some guy named Jack O' Lantern
and Azrael,
and you're like, holy shit,
Batman, bad Azrael.
This is gonna be some bullshit, and it was the most like it was bad, but it committed the egregious sin of being bad and boring.
Right, that's the problem.
That was the problem. We were like, no. this isn't gonna work.
Hey, you can't, it just doesn't feel right to read something that's just boring. And you know what sucks is, I love this comic real quick on Primal Force. Like, I have another Primal Force book, and
it's gotta be better than that one.
It's better than that, but there's really not a lot going on.
Well, the one we ended up reading was like, it was literally a recap of what was going on in the other DC books at that time.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I'm glad I fucking sat through this. It was boring.
Oh, what a bummer.
Anyway,
fuck so that's,
Primal Force.
Fuck Primal Force.
And maybe the human flesh be glad that he's not on a team.
No.
Because he might get the boring book.
He got out why it's good.
While the getting was good, and now he's probably, like, you know, in Sarasota somewhere, like, you know, hanging out with other former Daredevils.
Well, maybe he'll get a chance. Maybe he'll get a chance to, you know, be on his own book someday.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. But, anyways, that's the Human Fly, and that's it for our show this week. Thank you for listening. What? Oh, that noise.
Oh, that was supposed to be a fly?
Buzz.
Do you remember that Simpsons where, like, they did, like, a fly send-up and Bart ended up with a fly head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like...
I kind of wish this guy had a fly head.
Hmm.
That'd be really exciting.
Yes. He should. He should be sticky and
gross.
Yeah. But he's not. He's just some guy with steel bones, and yet somehow he's doing random things.
Yeah. Anyway, so where can people find you, Sean?
Find me on the Twitter at AngryHeroSean, SHAWN. You can also, that's how you spell Sean. Also, also AngryHeroSean on Instagram and my Tumblr, theangryhero.tumblr.com.
And I am at Jen Stansfield on Instagram and Twitter, jenstansfield.tumblr.com and jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
Great. All right. Well, that's it for the show this week. We will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.